Welcome back, everyone, to this week's edition of Inside Harvard Football. Bernie Corbett, as always, getting started here with Coach Tim Murphy. Our time with Tim this week as the Crimson get ready to head out on the road back in Ivy League play before their final non-conference game. And then, of course, it'll be the Ivy League exclusive run down the stretch. But big game high above Cayuga's waters this week at Cornell, and it will be Friday Night Lights and the audience on ESPNU. As we bring in Coach Murphy before we get to Cornell, we'll take a look back to last week. The famous now the NFL clip, the Dennis Green, they are who we thought they were. Coach, you talked about Holy Cross last week and maybe the best Holy Cross team in 40 years, and they certainly, as advertised, that's a formidable team. Number of playmakers on that team, and did enough to be able to get by your club on Saturday.
Yeah, again, Bernie, coming into the game, per your comment, I thought they were the best Holy Cross team I've seen in the past 40 years. You know, we played them, I don't know, 25 times during our tenure, and, you know, several more times when I was the an assistant coach at Boston University. You know, they would offense, defense, special teams, very experienced. They could do it all. They played a ton of football. Over the last 2 years, I think they played 22 games. And that includes the spring during COVID they played.
Right.
Fall during COVID they played another 13 games and plus 5 games now coming in. So I think they've played 22 games over the past 2 years to our 13. And, you know, they just played like a more experienced team. You know, we didn't have a great answer for their great slot, Jalen Coker, number one. Their quarterback was as advertised, a big, strong, athletic quarterback that can kind of do it all. He can improvise, he can have design run, and he certainly controlled the deep ball extremely well. So, and defensively, they played well. I think the big differences, stating the obvious, were, you know, we had two turnovers and we didn't have any takeaways. Those were big ones. And, you know, otherwise, I think, you know, had a good shot in the fourth quarter. But our kids played really, really hard. I thought we did a very solid job coaching. You know, we just made too many mistakes, two turnovers, and, you know, 10 penalties on the day. You just can't do against an outstanding team. But the better team you play, sometimes they kind of nudge you into penalties.
And the penalties is something we've talked about. It's been kind of a theme for us here in terms of the number of penalties that have been called. Points of emphasis, etc. Do you think the games, are they being officiated differently from your standpoint in terms of maybe some of the things that they're looking for or they're singling out so far this season through three games?
Yeah, I think it changes from crew to crew, week to week, Bernie, certainly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll have, you know, people say, boy, the officiating's terrible. I don't look at it that way. I think it does all come out over the course of the season where you probably get a few breaks and some go against you. So, you know, we got to control what we can control and not worry about the officials.
Yeah, looking at the number of positives that you would refer to on the offensive side, once again, Aiden Bourget, he had an 80-yard day. He had a couple of touchdowns. He's a play-to-play guy, but he's also a big play guy. He has that element in his game at any time, and it seems to really be emerging here as you head toward the most important part of the schedule, which is upcoming.
Yeah, when you look at losing a kid like Aaron Champlin, one of the best running backs in Harvard football history last year, who's still with the Dallas Cowboys, you know, you think it's going to be a big drop-off. Now, they're very different. You know, Aaron was a 10-700-meter kid that, you know, was just one step away from taking it to the house. Aiden's a very patient runner. He has a good feel for our offensive schemes. And, you know, at times it looks like he's bottled up and he makes big plays. But tough, physical, great pass blocker, and, you know, just a terrific football player. Definitely our best offensive player.
And we go week to week with Charlie Dean and his progress. Numbers-wise, 19 for 34. He threw for 262 and a touchdown, and certainly has a simpatico with Kim Wimberly. Wimberly with 9 catches for 99. You're also seeing the What you have talked about, you've long touted the ability of Ledger Hatch, and he's becoming more of a playmaker now and emerging from week to week.
Yeah, Kim's an elite athlete. I think we probably targeted him too many times, and they certainly double-covered them at times and covered him well. Ledger is a guy that is emerging as a youngish player, just into his sophomore year. And we've got to spread the ball around more, I think, like we did a little bit more in the Brown game.
Yeah.
I think we had 18 targets for Kim Wembley last week, which is too many. It's mm-hmm. too many because you become a little bit predictable. But I think if we spread the ball around and, take some checkdowns, I think it's going to help us to continue some drives.
And another guy we want to mention who's become part of the offensive package more prominently, and also in the return game, literally from the opening kickoff with that 60-yard return, you got to like what you see with Jack Bill and his playmaking ability, Coach.
Yeah, he's been probably the biggest surprise, Bernie. He was a kid that came into our program as a very athletic quarterback. That didn't necessarily work out, and he slowly but surely made the transition to receiver, and now that he has a good feel for it, people can see that, he's another explosive guy, a guy that has the finishing speed to make big plays. And, I really believe with our tight ends and our wide receivers as a group, we're very diverse. We're a team that can, throw the ball to just about anybody. I think if we get to that point a little bit more and develop sort of that versatility, I think it will shape up our offense and give us a much less predictable offense and the opportunity to score in different ways.
Of course, it's all about the offensive line. We've discussed their progress from week to week. You're great, if you will, for last week, knowing that there's not too many teams where you're going to be facing guys like Dobbs and Anderson. I mean, they were as advertised. I know you like to say dudes. They had some dudes on the defense there at that linebacker position in terms of playmakers. My goodness.
Yeah, they had playmakers at every level, Bernie, secondary linebackers and their front four.
Mm.
But the reality is I thought the offensive line played very well.
Yeah.
I think we only gave up one or two sacks. Obviously, did take a few hits. But all in all, against a dangerous team that was multiple, I thought we played pretty well up front.
And on the defensive side, there was some outstanding performances there. James Herring, always involved. 10 tackles led the way, broke up a pass in the end zone. Truman Jones, he was a one-man gang to thwart a drive there in particular, but solid play from your captain with the sack, a tackle for a loss, and forcing the Sluka, not easy to force Sluka to get rid of the ball early.
Yeah, both of those kids, those seniors, are tremendous football players. James has played a lot of football here, so has Truman. Truman's the leader of our team and our defense, and one of the best games that Truman's played here. He's taken it up a notch this year. He understands that his, football mortality is, kind of, we're in that part that really becomes important to him to be a team leader and reach his full potential. And, just a phenomenal kid. He can make a, like so many of our kids, he'd make a great son-in-law. Here's a kid that's going to go to medical school and, wow, I can't say enough about Truman on all levels.
And I know on the defensive side, you see it on film, then you see it live. Mike and I, we really singing the praises of Sluka. It seemed like he just had answers. You spied him. You did a pretty effective job spying him, but his improvisational ability, his athletic ability in terms of being outside the scheme, when he had to get outside the scheme, he could make it a street game and be successful. He'd be pretty extraordinary. I think you called him a big Doug Flutie last week, and I think that was accurate.
Well, I think when I said that, people sort of assumed that was a little bit of hyperbole, but
no.
he's 6'3", he's 220 pounds, he's very gifted, and he's played a ton of games. He started, something like 25 games, and the combination thereof makes them very difficult to defend. They've got the design run with the quarterback. They've got the improvisational run with the quarterback. They've got the keep the ball alive on pass plays. And the combination thereof is very challenging. And, they're a team that I think will end up going 11-0 this year. And this will, be their I believe, their third consecutive year playing in the NCAA playoffs. So kudos to them. They've done a great job. When Holy Cross changed from financial aid to full NCAA level Division I scholarships, it changed everything in terms of their ability to recruit. They've also built a state-of-the-art football center, including an indoor field with the coaches' offices and the locker rooms, and they've got an outstanding coaching staff as well. So they're doing a lot of things right, and you have to give credit.
No question. And I guess as an aside, we say goodbye to Holy Cross here, a team that I guess you could maybe make a case they could maybe make a playoff run against some of the North Dakota States of the world. Coach, I don't think it'd surprise anybody based on the ability that team has.
No. I mean, they've already won games in the Division I FCS playoffs, and I'll certainly root for them in the playoffs. I happen to have a few Holy Cross friends, and
yes,
certainly have a lot of respect. We've had a very favorable series with them, but you certainly have to give them credit where their program is right now.
No doubt. We have a mutual friend, one of the guys you've golfed with, my Giants friend Rich Horgan. So we'll root for Rich in the playoffs, Coach.
You got it.
Indeed. Looking ahead, and it's back to Ivy League play, but before, once again, we're just a couple of weeks away. As I say, the run for the roses there, the sweepstakes will begin, the Ivy League race in total. This week, trip to Cornell. Last four meetings have been a split. It's always tough going to Cornell, and a little bit of a different scenario with the Friday Night Lights and the national feature game on ESPNU this week.
Well, Cornell always plays this tough. They're really well coached. They've got some really outstanding athletes, and they have played us, statistically speaking, very tough at Shokoff in Ithaca. So we certainly know this will be a tough game, especially on the quick turnaround from the Holy Cross game. So we had one day in pads. We'll have one day not in pads, and we're hitting the road tomorrow morning for the Friday night game.
That's right. It'll be back up for the trip to Ithaca tomorrow. Looking at Cornell, almost 500 yards of total offense last week, and pulling one out late. Jackson Kennedy received national honors, their field goal kicker, with the winning kick. James Wayne, their quarterback, he threw for almost 300 last week, and it looks like you've got another formidable receiver to keep an eye on, with Thomas Glover, who had a big day.
Yeah, this is a good football team who's, you know, just sort of hitting their stride, Bernie. They are, you know, just a few plays away from being 3-0. You know, playing at home, very dangerous young quarterback in Jamison Wang, and the combination thereof. They also play every defense known to man. So boy, it is always challenging. Yeah, it's going to be an exciting game and a really great to be on ESPN national TV.
Yeah, looking at the on the defensive side, a number of names that popped out. I said, well, these guys, you know, when the whole COVID situation, guys that have been there for a while, Trey Harris, Demetrius Harris, Harrison Harris there, and Jake Stebbins is a guy that's been part of their defense for a long time. So they've got an experienced unit, and I guess that's the fact, Coach, that they can play a lot of exotic schemes there because of the fact that these guys have been on the field together for a while.
Yeah, the combination thereof, Bernie, you see three down, four down, bare defense, every blitz known to man, and I don't know how they do it in terms of, you know, the amount of time you have to practice it all, and, you know, sometimes they'll give up a gap or have the guy in the wrong place, but overall it puts a tremendous amount of pressure on your offensive line and your quarterback to be able to finish plays.
Big test this week, Coach, and once again, I know, like most coaches, you're a creature of habit, so I guess you'll have to just embrace the moment of traveling on a Thursday and playing on a Friday night, but it'll give you a little bit of a respite after that. You get a little bit of a longer week to get back on the road the following week. So challenging point of the schedule here for you, and obviously a huge game in Ivy League play.
Well, absolutely, Bernie. Our kids coming out of a really good battle against Holy Cross, one that we didn't win, but at times played really hard and played extremely well. And our kids are aching to get playing again as quickly as possible, and playing on a Friday night, that'll certainly happen.
Friday Night Lights. Look forward to seeing you in Ithaca, Coach. All the best. Safe travels.
Thank you, Bernie. Same to you.
Coach Murphy, our time with Tim this week as the Crimson get ready for the challenge of the Big Red here on Inside Harvard Football.